Well, hello, this is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And my guest today has actually been on this site more than anyone else. And part of that is because he's extremely prolific and keeps putting out fantastic music. Part of it's because he's one of my personal musical heroes, and for my money, one of the best to ever pick up a mic. And also because he's just a great guy and always agrees to talk. He's about to release his seventh solo record called Wide Awake in My Dreamland, and he's here to talk about it. Once again, it's my pleasure to welcome Jeff Scott Soto. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. You have such a soothing demeanor, the way you that intro. I felt so relaxed, like, man, this is gonna be fun.
Exactly. I mean, sit back, relax. We're going to talk about this record. But, you know, before that, the last time we spoke, after a Sons of Apollo show in February and then again in March, as you guys were really the first major band to take the pandemic seriously, you mentioned back then that you were targeting a fall release for your solo record. So is
right.
It safe to say that the pandemic didn't really change your schedule too much when it comes to this record?
I believe the original intent was a July release or maybe early fall, maybe August.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe we definitely moved it based on the hopes that this whole thing would be over. We could kind of be resuming our normal lives again. But obviously when we delayed the release and we saw nothing was really going to be changing anytime soon, we obviously had to get it out there. We can't sit on it for an entire year. But on the other hand, now we have to deal with the new way of promoting a record. Or it seems like every year there's a new way of promoting and a new way of doing things, because the old ways just keep going by the wayside. You know, the social media thing was one thing to get used to, and then the loss of a lot of physical sales, and you know, even new cars don't even have CD players anymore, because
right.
People just don't buy product. They see it as a form of hoarding, maybe just not interested in the liner notes, or they don't care about the photos, but that's what it's become. And it's a drag for traditionalists like us. You know, we love that kind of stuff. We live for the liner notes and even the smell of a new album or CD when you open the package. So bottom line is, I think overall it didn't really affect it too much. It's just obviously finding new parameters and kind of new ways of promoting it around the fact that we're stuck at home.
Yeah. And let's get into the record, Wide Awake in My Dreamland. First off, you wrote the entire record with your Frontiers label mate, Alessandro Del Vecchio. Is this the first time you guys have done a full record together? And what was it like working with Alessandro?
Yeah, this is the first one together. I've known Alessandro for 15 years now. I met him on tour when I was with the JSS band doing a European tour, and we had a day off going into Milan, and Marcel Jacob from Talisman, the Soul, was producing Alessandro's band, a band called Edge of Forever. And knowing I had a day off, he asked me, would you mind coming into the studio and dropping a few backing vocals? I'm like, oh God, it's my day off. Last thing I want to do is sing, but I would do anything for my brother. And I'm glad I did it, because this is where I first met Alessandro. This is what began a very strong and lengthy friendship with him. This being said, I've watched the past 5-6 years, he truly has grown tremendously in terms of a producer, a writer, a singer, everything, even an engineer. He's doing all the work in the studio. He's just a jack of all trades. And so when Frontiers brought the idea of us working together finally, after knowing him for so long and always talking about we got to work together, it was a no-brainer. I wanted to bring him on board.
And the record itself, as we were saying, I love the record. It's well-tracked. It's well-paced. The first three songs, Someone to Love, Mystified, and Love's Blind, are just straight-ahead rockers. And it's funny you mentioned how you met Alessandro, because these are probably the most similar to Talisman than anything you've done in your solo career. Did
right.
you have kind of a vibe or a sound in mind when you guys began working?
I didn't. He did. And he told me this later, and it's even part of the EPK, where he said, in making this record, because he wrote all the music, every single mm-hmm. song. He composed all the music and even played on all the instruments on the original demos for me. So his idea was to take the best of what he loved about my voice and my career and kind of mold that into a contemporary melodic rock, hard rock album. And so if he told me that would have been his approach before we started working together, I might have thought, I'm not really interested in repeating or plagiarizing. Let's think of something else, or let's try to think of something more mm-hmm. original than that ideal. By him not saying it, and me by me just living every track, he just kept sending new tracks, new songs. Like, whoa, my God, this is great. I can envision this one's going to be great. It led me, it just naturally went that way. And it wasn't until later I realized his process. And then when he admitted that's what his process was going to be, it made sense. It all just kind of came full circle. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I just let him roll with it.
Yeah. And, you know, those three songs lead into really kind of the cornerstone of the record, Without You. And
right.
I think that's just a perfect example of really one of your trademarks, that layered vocal sound. Talk
yeah.
a little bit about what goes into recording a song like that with all of your layers of vocals added onto it.
Well, and it's no surprise. Anybody who's even heard me in interviews mm-hmm. for a year, much less the past 35, knows how important a band like Queen, the influence mm-hmm. that they with me, and pretty much everything I listened to and loved growing up. I'm a huge component, I'm a champion of things that have a lot of vocals and a lot of backing vocals and structure when it comes to layers and layers of singing. I've tried to strip it down a little more, not because for all intents and purposes, that ideal can lead to sounding dated. I don't think it's dated in terms of the idea behind it of just making things very choral and choir-esque. I love that. I don't think that's the dated part, more so than the actual, just because if it's behind classic rock, people are just going to label it, wow, that sounds like, you know, it
right.
sounds like it's back mm-hmm. in the day. But I still love that world. I still try to incorporate that world in a song like Without You, which was very Queen-oriented in terms of when he wrote it. As I said earlier, Alessandro was trying to dig into the things he loves about my career and my voice. And one of the other things he wanted to tap into is one of my biggest influences, and that was Queen. So mm-hmm. in giving me that song, he knew I was going to turn that into my own kind of epic, majestic Queen moment, so to speak.
Yeah, and I really think that song's going to become one of your trademarks going forward once it gets out there. And I know the video's out and people are checking it out. It's,
yeah.
It's a brilliant song. It really is.
Thank you. And that's what, you know, I wanted that song to be the video because it has a strong lyric, number one. It's a strong mm-hmm. song. But I wanted it more so to get more attention than just being a track from the album or just mm-hmm. releasing an audio single, you know, with just the literature of what album it's from. I wanted a video behind it so I could get more people to pay attention to it and listen to it. And it's, so far it's doing great.
And, you know, the next group of songs after that, you get into Lessons of Love and Paper Wings and Love Will Find a Way. And once again, it's classic Jeff Scott Soto. And you've explored a lot of different genres in your career, but I think Alessandro really hit on something, that sort of this upbeat, positive, big chorus type song is where you really excel. And after doing kind of the prog stuff with Sons of Apollo and the heavier stuff with Soto, even though it wasn't what you would have done going into the record, did it feel good to sort of slide back into that pocket that you really haven't been in since Damage Control?
Well, to be honest with you, Retribution was more along the lines of this album. It was less mm-hmm. keyboard oriented. It was more guitar. So I would say it's more hard rock.
Right.
But it's certainly heavy than say mm-hmm. Sons of Apollo or so. Of course,
mm-hmm.
most of my records I do with or for Frontiers, they do lean towards that more melodic rock thing. Even Wet,
mm-hmm.
I never really went away from that sound. I just kind of wanted to expand on it, and this is one of the reasons this is one of the greatest things about the freedom and expression of music is you don't have to always abide by what's expected of you. It's more real, it's more genuine if you show people all the different colors and all the different influences you have in you. And I'm one of those fortunate artists to have those outlets, to be able to tap into those different arenas, because otherwise I probably would just be bored having to do the same kind of genre, the same kind of, I want to say formula, but every album, every artist, every band that I'm doing and releasing is kind of formulaic in terms of what that artist stands for and what the kind of music we represent. So yeah, it's my solo record gives me a chance to come back to that world. And then when I want to do the heavier stuff, I jump into Soto and even Sons of Apollo, which is, it's classic mixed in with a very heavy vibe behind it. So I love wearing the different hats. I love having the outlets to be able to wear those different shoes.
And that brings it right into Between Lines, which when I was listening to that, that really brought me back to your early solo work and your work with August Zadra on that track a bit. He played with you a little bit in the past and plays with Dennis DeYoung, and he had some great guitar to that song.
Yeah.
Now, from your end, were these all songs that you wrote specifically for this project, or did you have some of these left over from other projects?
I don't ever, at this point, I've exhausted anything that I've written in the past that was waiting for or didn't fit on an album. All those items have been released in one form or another. Everything that I do for every album that's upcoming is always for that project. So there was nothing left over. There was nothing recycled or rehashed. It was all new stuff. It's kind of like going to your favorite fast food place and say, we make your food fresh to order. and that, it does, I'll extend to that. I really don't have the time nor the real brain capacity to sit there and just write music just to write music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just sit there and pen music for the intent of something in the future, or maybe I can use this, or this is really cool, but it doesn't fit that, and I'll use it for another. I literally just have enough time and enough brain capacity to write for the moment.
One thing at a time.
Yeah, for whatever I'm working on at the moment. And I guess that kind of helps in terms of things not really having a shelf life, so to speak. Well, this sounds good, or this might be right for this time, but maybe not right for two or three years from now. I would rather be fresh in my approach and whatever I'm doing for that moment just to be for that moment.
Right. And now, again, another real cornerstone of the record, Living in a Dream and Wide Awake, they almost seem like almost companion pieces lyrically. Talk a little bit about what those two songs mean to you and how they ended up kind of being the theme of the record.
Well, that's in general, we were experiencing, as in pretty much throughout history, we were experiencing worldwide, you know, the divisions, the political separations, the social challenges. There were even genders, you know, the gender wars, so to speak, and trying to find that equality. This has been going on for so many years, even before this historic year that we've experienced it so much in the U.S. So it was really leaning, especially the lyrics and the title, was leaning more towards that, what we've seen in the past few years, more so than what we've seen the past few decades or centuries. But I would have never imagined they would have taken an even bigger and broader coincidence that it has. But, you know, what being wide awake in a dreamland, it's what we're experiencing now is certainly like a big dream, like a big nightmare. But
yeah,
wide awake and experiencing it, it's real. It's a real thing and not going away anytime soon. And so this album absolutely reflected at the time already what we were going through before pandemic hit, and now it's taken on a whole new meaning. I might have altered some of the lyrics to kind of fit this moment, but I guess that's going to be reflective on the other stuff that I'm writing for the future.
And then the record closes with another one of those big epics that it really lets you soar with Desperate. And you know, again, that probably has the most closest to a Sons of Apollo songs. I think it's different from the rest of the record, but it's a great way to close it out.
I got to be honest, to me, that song represents more of my very beginnings with Yngwie Malmsteen. That song, like the second cousin to something like I'm a Viking, with without the, all the shred and the guitar work that I'm a Viking consists of. It just has that kind of vibe, that kind of feel. And this is one of the reasons I wanted it to close the record, because this is it's celebrating another milestone in my life and my career. So this song kind of represents the beginning of my career. It's weird because I'm closing the with a song that represents more of the beginning of my life. And that was, again, by design. It was something, I want that song to basically come at the end, because it sounds like something that started me in the very beginning.
Again, I can't say enough good things about the record. It's really something. Can't wait for everybody to get a listen to it. The last time we spoke, the world was kind of reeling from the loss of Neil Peart, and now another legend with Eddie Van Halen. I know you've covered Van Halen a lot in career live. What did Eddie mean to you?
I can't even put into words what Eddie meant to me as much as what he meant to the world, my peers, my colleagues, fans of mine. In general, he was more than just a game-changing legacy to all of us. And it's weird, because when someone like that, when somebody that important to us personally, whether it's somebody that everybody knows or agrees with or feels for, when somebody like that's so personal to you passes, there are a lot of people who don't understand why like, for instance, I could be so affected by it. I don't know. I didn't have a personal relationship or a working relationship, so why am I so affected? That music and everything that Eddie gave us in terms of influence in Van Halen and then some is a part of us. When that person passes, a part of us passes. A part of us dies too. Even though we have these childhood memories, we have these things to draw from, these experiences and influences, we lose a little something when we lose that person. And that's what Eddie meant to me and what means to so many people. We all felt that loss, like we lost a little bit of ourselves.
Yeah, without a doubt. But, I mean, there's also good news in these times. I know you're a big Laker fan, so talk a little bit about what that championship meant coming in this weird year.
Yeah, it meant so much and more bringing it home after 10 years. The last time we had finals was 10 years ago. And for me, it represented bringing it home for Kobe more so than bringing home the championship after all these years. I would have loved to see Kobe go out that way, to be able to retire after a win like that, as opposed to having to finally pull the plug on his career, because he realized the bones and the body wasn't capable of keeping up with the pace that he delivers. And so for me, it was more important. It meant more that they brought it home for Kobe more so than just the city and because of these times and everything that we're all dealing with. And we need a little shot in the arm of inspiration, et cetera. Yeah, the whole Kobe thing absolutely is the reason why it means that much more to me.
And we're both Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Hopefully we'll have another championship to celebrate in a few months.
Right?
Looking good. Now, I mean, this record comes out November 6th. I know you have some physical product. We were talking about that at the beginning of the interview. You actually have some vinyl available for this. I will definitely be getting my hands on one of those.
We'll be releasing that info very soon. I'm still waiting because it originally wasn't set up to do so. And because it takes a little time to kind of get it all in the process, not as easy as just putting the whole pressing of an album and the setup time is a little different. So that process is happening now, and I'll be able to get that information out soon enough.
Can't wait. And again, you always have a lot going on. There's a new Wet album coming out in January, and we'll talk about that when that one gets ready. Just earlier today, they announced the TSO live stream that you'll be taking part in, so at least we can see up on stage playing, so that'll be great to watch. You're looking forward to that?
Yeah, and, that was a big one that not only was it was tough holding on that in because I knew they were working on something like this. And obviously we're sworn to secrecy. It's not our place to discuss anything TSO until they give us the go ahead. But the fact that we're able to we're not going to have to go dark this year. We're giving some kind of capacity of TSO that's very much needed. I'm so happy that they were able to pull that off.
And it's great because those of us on the East Coast actually get to see you perform with this live stream. So that's a cool thing.
Absolutely.
But again, the record is called Wide Awake in My Dreamland. We have been talking with the amazing Jeff Scott Soto. Jeff, congratulations on just putting out another killer record. Best of luck with it. And look forward to the next time we get to talk and hopefully catch you on the road soon.
Awesome, Jeff. I look forward to it as well. You be safe. Happy holidays and all that stuff. And we shall commence again when it's time.
You as well, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right. All the best.